All right, thank you for that. We're in the middle, nearly the middle of the Colossians study, Bible study, and it's a helpful book. It's designed and written for those that are in a situation like we are, not ever having been offered the kingdom on earth, the kingdom with the King, Jesus, and not ever having tried to come to God by the former way that God dispensed his salvation through Israel. That was all gone by the time we were born, and we rely strictly on God's grace. We need grace. We need to come to God on that basis, realizing that we're sinners and we don't have anything to offer. Our good works are just, like the previous speaker said, they're filthy rags to God. They're not worth anything. So let's go on. Last time we were talking about the exchange there, the new man for the old man. And we'll pick up talking a little bit about that to start with in Colossians 3:10 and then go on from there. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And if you're, you know, questioning about the new man, old man difference and what that's about, I urge you to go back and listen to part 8. It's on the YouTube channel there for Follow Christ's Pattern. And it's on our website in the audio form. But it says, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What image of Christ can be seen today? Wouldn't that be the body of Christ? That's all the world has to go by if they're not going to start studying the Bible and receiving Christ as their Savior. Looking at the body of Christ is the only image they see of Christ. It's another indication that the new man is the body of Christ. Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Christ is all and in all. When a person gets saved, he or she leaves their former background and becomes formerly a Jew or a Greek, or formerly circumcision or uncircumcision, or formerly barbarian, Scythian, or whatever. They become formerly bond or free. Look at one other thing about who Paul includes here in this list that he lists after the end of Acts. Colossians was written after the end of Acts. And we opened the study at the first night about showing when Colossians was written in the series of Paul's epistles. But Paul, in the list, adds the category of barbarian or Scythian that he omitted in his earlier list in Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So there was a difference there after the end of Acts. Those barbarians and Scythians that had nothing to do with Israel or God or the law or commandments, covenants, any of that, they were included now that they could come directly to God by believing that God had a son that was the Messiah and that he rose from the dead. And that that is in place of having to come to Israel and fear God and work works of righteousness as Israel did. But that didn't save them. What saves them is the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for their sins and that they received that. God receives it. He sent his son to die for our sins. But some people will not submit to that. They think they should be good enough. If they try hard enough, they make up their own God. You know, God is holy, and they just don't understand how holy, holy God is. And that he can't have, they don't understand the depravity, or the, I shouldn't use that word really, the utter sinfulness of man. So, let's go on. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of, or chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So, just as by faith we have put off the old man, Adam, with his deeds, so also here, by faith, we put on the new man's activities. Verse 13, forbearing one another. That's hard to do alone, isn't it? I mean, it needs an act of faith in God's Spirit empowering believers. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, past tense, forgave you, so also do you, do ye. The parallel verse in Ephesians is Ephesians 4:32, with the same concept. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, past tense, forgiven. It's already been done for every sin that you or anyone will ever commit. Those verses are to be believed as they are stated. Christ has already forgiven saved persons of all their sins, right up to and including the last sin you will commit on the last day you're alive, before the catching up of the body of Christ. So then, why do people still need to be saved? Because although forgiveness is a result of the grace of God, it's only applied to an individual when that individual receives, and that's the word used in Scripture, receives that grace of God to himself. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. It's available to anybody. It's not just those that God made covenants with, or those that come to God accepting those covenants, even though they weren't born Jewish. It's not just to them. It's to everybody now. It's by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. If you believe, it's on you, the righteousness of God. For there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. How to use the gospel of Christ, that's in the next two verses after that. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So, when he was there in Corinth, he taught him the gospel, preached it to him. Here he's declaring it again to him. And he says, that's the gospel by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. In other words, not Peter's gospel. Not the gospel of the circumcision or the gospel of the kingdom that Christ preached when he walked the earth. That has been withdrawn, and it had been by the time of Colossians. So he goes on, he says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Believing some past gospel or a future gospel mentioned in Revelation 14, I think it is. Believing those gospels, it's believing in vain. You need to find out what gospel God is dispensing today and saving people by today. Colossians 3:14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Believers already have put on Christ, being in Christ, and being in the body of Christ. But Paul is saying put on the behavior, the demeanor, the attitude of charity. And you're able to do that because you have already put on the new man, Christ. We have that ability that we didn't have before we were saved. 1 Corinthians 12:31, But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then the next verse is 1 Corinthians 13:1. I show you a more excellent way, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Go to the end of that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. Those are the three things that abide by the end. But the greatest of these is charity. Colossians 3:14 says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So there's a tie in there. Paul preaches charity, not only charity, but now Paul preaches peace. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So often through the scriptures you hear Paul calling it one body. There were not two. The Colossians was after the end of Acts, so he knew what went on during Acts. He knew that counting what was in the beginning of Acts and what was, you know, throughout Acts and what was after Acts, there is one body. How can God have peace with us? God can have peace with us through His grace. That's the tie-in there. And the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How can we have peace with others? We can have peace with others through extending to them the grace that God shows to us. We have a resource, an infinite resource, in other words. Paul's parallel epistle to the Ephesians adds in some understanding about God's grace. He says in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you look in Strong's Concordance, it describes the inspired, preserved word bond that's used there in the scripture as a tie, a joint tie. Not the tie you wear, but a connection, in other words, tied together. A joint tie, a uniting principle. So God's peace is a joiner. God's peace is a unifier. believers are not only in the body of Christ, but because God foreknew our choice to believe the gospel, we are called in one body. So what are we called? We are called to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that means the faith of us believers has enabled us to let, you have to relax and let God's peace rule over your hearts. He's not going to force it on you, but it's available. Relax. Lay back in God's peace. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I love that. Because the word of God, the Bible, is so in tied in with our life. I mean, that's where we get our growth from. That's where we get news about salvation. And Paul said, now I commend you to God and the word of his grace. That's Paul's epistles. His grace, the word or the news about the grace of God came through Paul. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What happens when you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom? Well, we can find out what happens if we find out what follows afterward. Letting the word, after what happens after you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom? So let's look further in the verse. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Well, we see here teaching and admonishing, they're both forms of speaking the word of God. Okay, looking further in the verse, what else is the result of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly? In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we see singing. That's speaking and singing so far. Let's look further. 3:17 in Colossians. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Thanks to God and the Father by him. Here we see thanking or thanksgiving, giving thanks. So far we have speaking, singing, and thanking. And the next verse brings up submitting. 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So altogether we see that letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom produces speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting. So, if we look in the Bible for speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting, then we can find out what in the Bible is equivalent to letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Look in Ephesians 5:18-21. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And how did that start? Be filled with the Spirit. There you have it. What is that? What is it there in Ephesians 5:18-21 that leads to or produces speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting? Well, we saw in the verse there, in the middle of 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. That leads to speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting. So, pulling them together. When the Bible says be filled with the Spirit, it is saying to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Sooner or later, all believers seem to ask, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, there's your answer. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Don't be misled. These verses say nothing about some other baptism. This is talking about filling, not baptizing. There is only one baptism today, and it is by the Holy Spirit into the one body of Christ. Right? Being filled with the Spirit is a spiritual thing. It's not an emotional thing. Emotions might or might not follow being saved and instantly baptized into the body of Christ. But emotions are not any part of being filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is not the emotions. The emotions are part of the flesh, not the Spirit. The flesh is against the Spirit. Galatians 5:17, and we'll be closing here soon. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. When God calls each of us to be filled with the Spirit, He is calling us to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Okay, any comments or questions?